So, Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the Word of God. And I ask that this Word of God would transform our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians, as Paul writes this letter, it's accounted such that this letter is understood that Paul wrote this from Corinth. So as you're reading and studying in the book of Acts, the only book of history in the New Testament, you find all about Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17. Paul had been in Philippi in chapter 16, and then he makes his way into Thessalonica in chapter 17, and there's 9 verses, Acts 17, 1 through 9, concerning the ministry of the entrance of the gospel into modern-day Salonica. It finds itself about 100 miles west of Philippi. The entrance into Europe, if you understand the significance of the Holy Spirit hindering Paul from taking the gospel into Asia, how it's recorded for us that by vision, Paul sees a man of Macedonia who says, come over and help us. Thus, understanding that it was God's will through that vision and by action gets up the next day and gets a ship and heads into Europe, heads to Philippi. And after Philippi, makes his way to Thessalonica, and the gospel had its effective work in Thessalonica. We come to this study today with an encouragement as we really are going right through the Bible. This began in 2012 in December, where we started from Genesis through Revelation, and I've been keeping this track going right on through the Bible. Now, I've taught through other portions of this, and it wasn't too long ago that we taught through the 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus concerning discipleship as we pick up a normal course of Scripture. But this one we're on right now on Sundays is through the Bible. Now, from here to the end, from 1st and 2nd Thessalonians through Revelation, here's my encouragement to you. This is about the Lord's return. This is about the coming again of Jesus Christ. And I encouraged us a while back as this came upon us, and I did it. I did it, and I encourage you to do this. Sit down and read from 1 Thessalonians to the end of the Bible. And I did that all in one day. I didn't do it in one sitting, but just in that day, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna concentrate asking the work of God's Holy Spirit through the Word of God. And when you sit down and read an entire letter, you get a whole different perspective. And maybe you're used to just reading, you know, chapter by chapter. And your perspective is such where you don't get the overall understanding that I believe God wants us to have from here to the end. Now, as we take up this study, I've assigned 1 Thessalonians 1, but what I'm really wanting you to do is to read the Word of God. That the Word of God for yourself would be just that, the Word of God. Now, this is me after being on the mission field with the focus of teaching the book of Genesis to the chaplains in a 2-week time period, covering an entire book of Genesis. My perspective is quite different in 2 weeks to accomplish that. And that which I would also now put forth to you, how important it is that I could share with you to read the Word of God. Now, what I want to do from here to the end of Revelation is that each one of us would commit unto God to simply be reading where we're at on Sundays. And I know many of you do read ahead. I know many of you read ahead as a last-minute thought. And I'm trying to change that for us because I believe God wants to work effectively in us who believe Him concerning the Word of God, that you, us, the Holy Spirit would teach in a dynamic way for us each and every Sunday when we're together concerning the things we've been reading and praying and trusting and asking and watching God to do. And with this, therefore, I've entitled today, Let Us Receive the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 1, let us receive the Word of God. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. So we take up this study today, and you're going to hear a theme. So let us receive the word of God. Verses 1 and 2, let us be the church. Okay, I'm not going to pick which application you're going to be taking out of 1 Thessalonians 1, because there's many that the Holy Spirit, again, teaching each and every one of us individually through one time of teaching. Let us be the church. We find in this phrase here, to the church of the Thessalonians, interesting phrase that Paul uses in describing this. Matthew 16:18, first mention of this word church in all of the Bible related to the Greek is when Jesus says, I will build my church. Peter had just made the declaration, who do men say that I am, was the question, and Peter's answer to Jesus, by revelation of God the Father. You know, catch the reference here, Paul writing to the church of the Thessalonians, writing a letter back from Corinth. Most attribute that this is Paul's first letter that made it into the Bible, earliest written. We can learn a lot from the beginning concerning that which God did to the church. I will build my church, Matthew 16:18. This church, a Greek word ekklesia, it's a compound word really meant to be called out, but called out into an assembly. Let us be the church. Now, the Holy Spirit, as he writes the book of Hebrews, whatever earthly pen he picked up to write the book of Hebrews, some say it's Paul. I think it's Paul, but it's the Holy Spirit who gives us that book of Hebrews. And it says, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as some are in the habit of doing, especially as we see the day approaching. See, we take a stance here from 1 Thessalonians 1 all the way through Revelation concerning what I would offer up to you. Let us be the church in the last days, not forsaking ourselves the assembling together. Ekklesia, the assembly. Strong's describes this by definition, a popular meeting, especially a religious congregation, Jewish synagogue or Christian community of members on the earth or saints in heaven or both. But this key word, assembly. Assemble together in Christ. This is the church, and if you'll notice, of the Thessalonians, but in God the Father. Just as easily now to be the church in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and then grace to you and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I will build my church. Jesus is Lord. The taking up of this concerning this work that Jesus does in the world, it's his church. And the birth, if you will, or born of God, concerning how the gospel came and had its entrance into Thessalonica, concerning that there's even a church there, is a manifest evidence of the power of God that was upon this gospel that as Paul came in, the church was born again. It's an important part to let us be the church. Acts 2:47, make this your prayer for the work that God is doing with us in North Dakota. Make this your prayer, Acts 2:47. Oh, we know about 2:42. We enjoy that. We talk about the apostles' doctrine. We talk about prayer, breaking of bread, fellowship. We talk about let's be the church as they are. But I'm going to take you unto 2:47. Praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Thus revealing, how is it that there's a church in Thessalonica? The church of the saved. They were saved by this gospel of Jesus Christ, believing and receiving. To be the church, again, how do you become a part of this? You must be born again. Through the washing, renewing, and regeneration of God's Holy Spirit. When you believe upon Jesus Christ, receiving, and if you'll catch this today, receiving the word of God, and as it is, Acts 2:47, make this your prayer for every one of our outreaches this year. My prayerful desire when we go up to the UP is that the Lord would add to the church daily those being saved. my prayerful desire when we think about the work of ministry that we're seeking to do in planting churches that would teach the Word of God and have that fullness of the Holy Spirit into Valley City, Jamestown, Wahpeton, and Grand Forks. And then we have Devil's Lake coming next when that one gets started. And then we still have a work to do out in Williston. And perhaps Bismarck Mandan. We'll see how that all plays out concerning that which God has given us to do for North Dakota, as well as, this work of ministry. Now, Acts 16:5, this puts us into the Apostle Paul from Acts 13, separated under the gospel by the Holy Spirit, together with Silas, to go out and to do the works that the Holy Spirit was sending them to do. I like when we get to Acts 16 because being forbid by the Holy Spirit to go into Asia, finding the will of God in this vision through prayer, and then a work of faith. Took action. Finds his way into Macedonia, shares the gospel there. The jailer gets saved, him and all his household. Again, the demon cast out of that young girl in Philippi. Here's Acts 16:5. And so were the churches established in the faith. It's the key thing. Now, many of those 130 chaplains who are being trained right now, class 12 chaplains, oh yeah, this part. Pray about supporting a class 12 chaplain. Pray about supporting a class 12 chaplain. That you and your family would support one of these servants who's going to go out and be a minister of the gospel in South Sudan. Now, we're calculating it out, and based off of the numbers we've been given, 120 chaplains, it takes 10 families to support a chaplain, or 10 people to support a chaplain. So we're looking for 1,200 supporters. Now, as I let this out in this way, and so were the churches established. And so we establish, let us be the church. That says, again, as you apply this, let us be the church. Let us be full on saved. Again, preach the gospel. Right? This is not the time to, well, with denomination. Well, my parents, I've always been a Catholic, I've always been a Lutheran, I've always been a Baptist, blah, blah, blah. Okay, those words are words only. You must be born again. We take this up in understanding the churches were established and increased in number daily. I believe that it's time for us to simply apply, let us be the church. Now, the second thing here we find in verse 2, we give thanks to God for you always making mention of you in our prayers. Well, let us be the church. Well, so we talk about the assembling of ourselves together unto the establishment of, and therefore work of ministry that is to be established, and it's there. And each one of you deciding what's your part, and maybe your focus will be church planting. Maybe you're going to focus in on Valley City. Maybe you're going to focus in on Jamestown. Maybe you're going to focus, I believe God wants me to be involved in Grand Forks and like Devil's Lake. And you consider that, or maybe your focus is going to be, I'm going to be supporting this work of ministry concerning missions. And I'm very interested in Africa. Or I'm very interested in Mexico, or like I'm interested in South America, and some of you are like, I want to do it all. Okay? Now we take this up. Here's where this is: prayers for the church. When I say let us be the church, prayer. Let us pray. Okay? This is not right now. But yes, now. Praying. Look at the phrase. And I like how Paul says it. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. Probably daily. And as you sort this out, as you partition this out, and I'm gonna be honest with you, I need your prayers. Okay? And you need my prayers, and we need each other's prayers. Praying for one another as we apply this, and a couple things to help us along the way. I've handed out to you, coming from a book that Andrew Murray wrote in a plea for more prayer. Again, I call it Helps to Intercession. Simply available for free online because he died a long time ago and wrote a really good book. And then you shouldn't have to pay for something that doesn't have a copyright on it anymore. Okay, So that means you should be able to find it for free. And I have it. I'll share it with you. I'll print it. I'll email it to you. But here's the third day. What is today? 5-3. Yep, May 3rd, third day. Prayers for the church. So this is lifetime for me. This is my prayerful intercession for the church. What to pray. So on day 3, what to pray is for all saints. With all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons and watching thereunto, and all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let us be the church. Let us apply Ephesians 6:18 to pray for all the saints. Okay? To pray for Pastor Ron and his wife Donna, to pray for Juan and Jesse, to pray for Jorge and Erica, the churches that we support in Mexico. On the same day, we're going to be with Juan in Granjas on Sunday morning, praying for that work of ministry there. He's pastor number 3, that, again, the other two crashed and burned. Satan took them out. Juan is being strong and holding strong. Juan got saved by a Calvary Chapel ministry in a prison in L.A. The gospel came to him in prison. He's a gang member. Gospel came into prison, and when he was found guilty, he was exported back out to Mexico. Makes his way, again, cross there. What's south of Tucson? You go down to Mexicali right there. He makes his way over to Tijuana because he knows that Calvary Chapel is in Tijuana. He shows up at Ron's door and knocks on the door. Okay, and now he's pastoring a church and starting another church in the Tijuana area. Now, when I take up this prayer for all saints, this is real, to share the gospel. Where is it such that you are able to get into that ministry that was making its way into LA and the prison, sharing the gospel with those? And yes, hardened criminals getting saved and going out to preach Christ. Prayer, all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let us be a praying church. Let us pray in our prayer closets. Let us pray on Sunday mornings when the church gathers together for prayer. Men, let us pray on Saturday nights for everything of the needs of the church. Healings, provision. Again, all these things that I would offer up. Every member of the body is interested in the welfare of the whole and exists to help and complete the others. Believers are one body and ought to pray. And not so much for the welfare of their own church or society, but first of all for all saints. This is my wonderful invitation for you to pray for the work of the ministry of the believers in South Sudan, that they could have the entire nation. Wouldn't that be wonderful, the testimony of the newest nation who has been protected from the Arab Muslims who are trying to kill an attack from the north, that all of their differences of tribes were all laid aside for the person of the Son of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, this invitation for the welfare of the saints, this large, unselfish love is proof that Christ's spirit and love are teaching them to pray. I love the phrase, the apostles come to Jesus and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. The Lord teaching us to pray. Pray first of all for this, then all believers around you. Then how to pray. Helps intercession, day 3, today's May 3rd. You should be able to find this. How to pray in the love of the Spirit. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. John 13:35. I pray that they all may be one, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. John 17:21. Think of that one. It would be manifest evidence that God has sent us to do what we go and do. Each parade, each outreach. Okay. You can be sent on a daily basis. Listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit might send you to a coworker. You might be shopping. Just go talk to that person over there. See how to pray in the love of the Spirit. Romans 15:30. I beseech you, brethren, by the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Now, Romans 15:30. And I'll take that verse. This is also evidence that the Holy Spirit's a person. The love of the Spirit if the Holy Spirit's a force, then there's no love. Okay? But this phrase, in the love of the Spirit. And then above all things, be fervent in your love among yourselves. 1 Peter 5:8. Is that the right verse? I think it's 4:8. Those Roman numerals get to me every time. And I edited the Roman numerals. So I'm correcting my mistakes. 1 Peter 4:8. I'll even edit my notes. You guys know that I make mistakes every day? And my wife says, amen. But hear this. If we are to pray, we must love. If we are to pray, we must love. It's time for the fat and lazy Americans to stop being so selfish. The skinny, lazy ones, too. I'm an equal opportunity offender because I look in the mirror a lot. Guys, let us be the church. It takes love. If we are to pray, we must love. Let us say to God, we do love all his saints. Let us say we love especially every child of his we know. So if you want to begin in a sort of targeted prayer fashion, where you start with the target being those that you know the most, start praying for your family, and then pray for your church, pray for your neighborhood, pray for your state, right? Pray for your country, pray for the world. You can pick, you can target your prayers. Maybe on Mondays you're targeting FRM Africa, and then your target is to pray for the saints you know. Pastor Michael is the pastor at the compound in Nimuli. He is the pastor of the church, as well as the pastor of all the chaplains. Okay? He needs your prayers. And so this, let us pray with fervent love in the love of the Spirit. And here I was going to do two chapters today. I don't know if I can get through one today. Now we carry this letter in such a way. Today I'm going to remind you, let us receive the word of God. Now verse 3 says, remembering without ceasing. So, let's take it this honest way, right? Remember without ceasing, the prayers, remembering without ceasing. Let us pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Let us pray without ceasing. Don't give up. Okay? Don't give up on your praying. You might have specific people you know and love in different parts of the world that you need to pray for every day. God might be sending you out into all kinds of places in the world. I can give you this understanding. When I travel and go and serve and sent to do mission work, I've got a list of about 10, 12 guys in church that I can say, would you cover this one for me? Would you cover this teaching? So as the Lord equips, again, men who can teach the Bible, I also know that's going to come forth out of that, together with the Word of God and the love of the Holy Spirit, that this going forth, this prayer without ceasing, look at this church. Right? We talk about it. This is the Thessalonians. A few years. Right? Then again, as he writes this back, a few years after they've been established, Paul's writing the letter back to them, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father. In the first three verses, we've had the emphasis of the church belonging to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his church. We belong to him. We're in him. We're one with him. We're born of him. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord. And it's just establishing that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that I follow. He's the one that that instructs me, teaches me. It's the Lord who, what the Lord says, and in response to the Lord is, that which I see you doing, Lord, I do too. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord. Establishing here this understanding, and I invite you to this, let us pray without ceasing. So you'll catch the emphasis from 2 into 3. Let us pray for our work of faith. Let us pray for it. Right? praying for our work of faith. Faith in the Greek is the Greek word pistis, in which describes a persuasion. I am fully persuaded that Jesus is Lord. I am fully persuaded that he is risen from the dead. I am fully persuaded that if I die today in Christ Jesus, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Must be fully persuaded. We take up this work of faith, so that which you're an interesting combination. And again, I think you can see it in there. These three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. You see work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, faith, hope, love. So this church in Thessalonica, together with us, praying for our work of faith, concerning this faith, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation. Especially reliant upon Christ for salvation. Constancy in such profession, by extension, assurance, belief, believe, faith. That's what this word pistis means. Now, here's our key verse. As we study through 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Okay, so I'm just bring it to your attention. And then I'm going to carry it into 2:13 for context. So 2:12, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. That's our faith, isn't it? That you would walk worthy. That means, by faith, I will live in this world now following Jesus Christ, fully trusting that I have salvation, and I'm going to walk worthy of him who calls me into his own kingdom and glory. Now, 2:13, which is where I get the title today. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And here's where I want to exhort, encourage, strengthen you, is read your Bibles. And we take up this study, 1 Thessalonians through Revelation. It's going to take us a couple years to do this. And I'm hoping the Lord interrupts it. Right? I'm hoping he interrupts it and calls us home. But this truth, as we would study this, receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. We are so desperately in need in this society, culture, this world, no matter where it is. There are so many words of men being shared about. Again, gathering all the knowledge of man into a particular place and now can return it in any flavor you want to get. Any artificial intelligence that would present what you want to hear, you ask the question, I interact with the knowledge of man the way I want to get it. I'm saying there has to be a church somewhere here who would say what? Not word of man. I'm not interested in wisdom of man. I'm not interested in the ways of man. Give me the word of God. Teach me by the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. I want to receive this book that I'm reading, these 66 books. I want to read the Word of God. Receiving the Word of God as it is. Concerning this phrase in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, which also effectively works in you who believe. That's the work of faith. Why was the church of the Thessalonians the way it was? Because Paul, Silas, and Timothy were the way they were when they showed up. What did they show up with? The Word of God. They preached Christ. They preached the Christ of the Bible concerning the death and resurrection foretold in the Old Testament, revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, and then they start recording these things down. The working effectively in those who believe. This is the work of faith. James 2, 17 through 26 there in your notes with, again, I'm just going to give you 26. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, this, I want this to get all the way into you and stick there. Okay? If you believe in Jesus Christ, that will manifest living works of faith. If there are no living works, then you need to go back and study Jesus. Okay? You study Jesus. What did he do? And then what did he give? And then what did he command And I think you'll see, and I believe Jesus, I'm going to go do this. Okay. I am fully asking and expecting, I've been asking now for several years, for 7 men to send into North Dakota for the work of ministry that I believe God has shown us is to happen. And as I ask for that, and again, strengthen and encourage all of you in praying for our works of faith, that we should see these living works. Now, praying for our labor of love. I think I'll be in 1 Thessalonians next week. No, wait, I won't be. I'll be gone next week. When I come back, Lord willing. Hey, praying for our labor of love. Have you ever put labor and love together? Well, the Bible sure does. So love, the Greek word agape, affection or benevolence, especially plural of a love feast like a feast of charity, a labor of love. John chapter 13, Jesus knowing where he came from, knowing where he's going, after supper, right, takes off his outer garments, girds himself with a towel, and takes up a labor of love. Work at your love. This is the idea, labor. But the word isn't work. The word is labor, and it's a toilsome weariness. Listen, it's time for us as the church to understand the cost to love. Don't let the world give you a definition. Don't let yourself think, oh, the love of God, if it's not easy, it can't be the love of God. Quite the opposite. What do I learn? Praying for our labor of love, this church, they saw the labor and the toil of the love of the gospel that came with Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Paul worked all day, preached. I don't know how much he slept. He prayed. There was a labor of love, and it was a labor. It was wearisome and toil to love. It is very okay to give of yourself unto weariness to love the saints. Practice saying yes more than no. Yes, Lord, I'll go do that. Yes, there's people over here who, oh, and there's a chance to serve here. The weariness, this is the instruction. Now, a couple of verses to hold you and keep you there. First, Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I'm just that idea of loving unto a weariness. Hebrews 6:10, God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love. God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love. Now, I know this. Well, I won't qualify it. You don't have to post about it. You don't have to post on all your social media all this work and labor of love that you're doing. In fact, don't. Okay? In fact, practice not posting what self is doing and go forth and do this. God, in God's sight, God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love. Who are you doing it for? Which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Hebrews 6:10. Hebrews 6:10. Key verse. Okay. Next one, praying for our patience of hope. You know, when I took these notes, I'm like, I'm going to get through all this. But we're not going to get through it all. Praying for our patience of hope. Now, hope, elpis, the Greek word, elpis, the root word, to anticipate, usually with pleasure and expectation, confidence. I think the English word hope many times kind of works like this. Well, maybe. Hope is almost equated to maybe. Well, I hope so. Listen, this patience of hope, praying for it, that's this church of Thessalonica, to anticipate, usually with pleasure and expectation. Right? The combination, if you hear it, work of faith should cause you to say, well, how do those two work together? That's James 2. Labor of love. How do those? I thought if it was love, it should be easy. It's just fruit of the Spirit, love. No, listen, this is church. This is now patience of hope. So if hope is the anticipation with pleasure and expectation, and then it's coupled together with patience, remaining enduring no matter how hard it gets. So you take two things that are seemingly not in agreement, and in Christ Jesus, what is it? That's the agreement. I will keep my hope and future expectation of good with anticipation in Christ Jesus at all costs. I'll remain. Now this hope, again, Romans 2:7, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, immortality. Isn't that a great way to describe our keeping this hope? Okay. Romans 2:7, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good. Let's face it. Anyone can receive the word of God with joy into a shallow heart. Oh, that's so exciting. Oh, wonderful news. It's really proven when the test comes, or as it were, when the heat of the day comes, or the sun starts to beat on that little seedling. Listen, your faith is going to be tested. And that's the idea here of our hope. Our hope has made it through the afflictions and trials and difficulties. And just when you think you've had about enough trouble, well, be ready for the next one that's coming. But the other part is you pray for that patience of hope, and you're praying for one another to have that hope, as it were, a living hope brought to you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If you thought things were hopeless on Good Friday, when Jesus goes into the tomb and that's it, and we thought this was not, and now there's nothing, and that, all you get, the tone from the apostles from Good Friday till they see Jesus on Sunday, and then it takes some of them a little extra time to see him, that he really is risen from the dead. I like that it doesn't read like a fairy tale. If it read like a fairy tale, it would be just that, just tall tales. Romans 5:3-5. Let us receive the word of God today. Now, this is your memory verse for this week, Romans 5:3-5. And since you won't see me till the 24th on Sunday, this is your memory verse that you can carry with you now until the 24th. Romans 5:3-5. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given unto us. Romans 5:3-5. As you receive the word of God. Romans 12:12 might be familiar for you practicing genuine church. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope. Take your joy again in hope. How can a church that is suffering the afflictions for following Jesus Christ in Thessalonica, how can they have the hope and joy in the midst of afflictions? Now, I'm going to go back up to read the entire verses here of 3 and 4. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Now, do not let Calvinism twist the scriptures for you that you can't simply read this and say, I am chosen by God. Okay? My description of this, it pleased God to do it that way in Thessalonica. Gospel came in, they believed and received. Not everybody believed and received. In fact, Paul was there for a short time in the synagogue. We don't know how long he was actually in town. We know he was only 3 weeks in the synagogue reasoning on the Sabbath concerning what he found there with the Jews. And some of them believed, but many of them did not. And then those that did not believe fought against the Apostle Paul and this gospel of Jesus Christ. Concerning us, as you take the memory verse of Romans 5, 3 through 5, and this wonderful thing, how else can you describe it? Beloved of God. How do you know you're beloved of God? Well, look at the perseverance and all the tribulation and producing the godly character that results in a hope. I am chosen by God to suffer for his namesake. I am chosen by God to be with Christ in all of his trouble that he faced in the world, that I too, in Christ, chosen by God and appointed by God to go in forth and bear fruit, and that fruit should remain. So, five-point Calvinism tulip is not scriptural. It's man's doctrines. So when you come to a passage like this and say, chosen by God, elect by God, it pleased God to choose you for the kingdom of God. It shouldn't trouble you at all. In fact, you should rejoice in that and say, the only way I can describe what happened in my life when I heard this gospel, I believed and received, all I can describe is it pleased God to save me. In fact, it's the Father who drew you to Jesus Christ, and it's the Spirit who convicted you that you were a sinner who needed to be saved. The work of God's Holy Spirit. Now, this labor of love, patience of hope, you're going to want to quit. You're going to want to give up. Okay. So where this study goes, then jump ahead to verse 10. To wait for his son from heaven. See, everything about Paul's letter back to the Thessalonians is to keep them as they wait. The word there for wait is with remaining, right? The idea of not just waiting, it's I'm going to abide, remain, dwell, stay. Again, abide in the vine, remain in Christ, but it's with remaining, describing that waiting. No matter what comes my way, I am going to stay with Jesus Christ. Waiting for his son from heaven, verse 10 describes whom he raised from the dead. This is the issue. How can he come back? How can Jesus come again? Because he's resurrected from the dead. There's no talk of Muhammad coming again. There's no talk of any of these, you know, like figureheads of world religions ever coming again because they're dead. See, this is the time now when we see all this that's going on, that we have dead religion overtaking people, enslaving them, putting them into bondage, lying to them. No matter how sincere they might be, they're sincerely wrong because there is no power over death. The church birthed in affliction, Thessalonica. Those that believed and received were immediately persecuted, threatened. To wait for his son from heaven. Keep waiting. How much longer? Longer. Keep waiting. Wait for the son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. That key phrase as we concentrate on that, the wrath to come. Thus revealing that Paul taught the church there that there is a coming judgment upon this world and that the wrath of God is going to come upon sinners who reject the Messiah. Now, in the middle of this, as I would read these verses, and we'll pick back up in verse 5 when we return to the First Thessalonians study, our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. This is that church. Now, bonus material, we'll study it next time. And it will be different next time I do the study, so I'll give it to you now. Okay, let us be filled with God's Holy Spirit. That's what this is about. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You know, this this taking up of this study. Let us share the gospel. When you're going out, you're not going out to make friends. You go out friendly to share the gospel. Let us share the gospel. Let us pray for the power of the Holy Spirit everywhere that the word of this gospel is shared. The good news. We need the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, and you became followers of us and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Have you not noticed what Paul's writing to this church? Labor of love, those two don't go together, but they do. Patience and hope, those two don't go together, but they do. Work and faith, James describes how they go together. Work and faith do go together. Likewise here, if you hear it in verse 6, receive the word in much affliction. How does affliction and joy go together? Thus describing what I would now encourage you, let us make disciples. You lead someone to the Lord, you watch God save them while Holy Spirit convinced them, bring them to church with you. Make a disciple. Where you go to church, bring them with you. Teach them the word of God. Teach them how joy and affliction, trouble, how it works for a Christian. So that you became examples to all Macedonia and Achaia who believe. Now, I like this. So if you think of Macedonia, that's up north. And then you come around and go all the way down into Athens. That's Achaia. That puts Thessalonica, the largest city, on the way from Rome east. It's a military way. It's a way to get troops to the east. Thessalonica is the largest one. And from Thessalonica, you can turn to the south and to the west, and you look over and you see Mount Olympus, where all the Greek gods supposedly dwelt. All 12 gods of the Greek pantheon, visible from Thessalonica. If it was ever a chance for us to just simply understand this church concerning this wonderful truth, they became examples. Why were they birthed that way? So God could say, this is what it is. Largest city on the way east and on the way south. Crossroads. Why do that there? Because it pleased God to do it that way and put them on display as examples for others concerning this wonderful truth in verse 8. From you, the word of the Lord has sounded forth. Now, we've been given an opportunity, and again, I also believe a task, if you will, to teach the word of God to the people of North Dakota. I want everybody to hear the word of God, to scatter the word of God. So one of the things the Holy Spirit's been talking with me the last few weeks concerning this is how can we take what we do concerning the teaching of the word of God and actually scatter it further, scattering the word of God. We're going to work on that. From you, the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Everyone comes through. Soldiers come through. Did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? And then they're on their way. That's Thessalonica. We do not need to say anything. Look at this phrase. Your faith toward God has gone out. Now, there's nothing quite like being birthed in affliction where your faith is immediately tested, lighting a fire under it to purify it. Preach Christ to every creature, especially those in trouble, and then encourage them that this gospel isn't about letting your trouble lift, but now God saves you and he's with you, and now your faith in God, that should be purified. That false gospel of Jesus will make your life better. Don't preach that gospel. You preach the true gospel. Your faith toward God has gone out, though we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the true and living God. That's the key. Does your life make manifest your testimony declare very simply and clearly, I used to serve this, now I serve the living God. So Father in heaven, I ask and pray that you would take and use 1 Thessalonians 1 in our lives concerning this work in power, this work of faith, this labor of love, that you would have a church that prays, you would have a church that preaches the gospel, you would have a church that is waiting for Jesus to come again, that you would have a faithful church making disciples, you would have a faithful church, Lord, declaring this gospel. We're asking and praying for your mighty working power to be upon us who believe you, Lord, that in the midst of all trials and afflictions and difficulties, in every circumstance of life, that you would have a people that follow you and trust you and believe in you and serve you. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.